It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Barrett. Early voting starts today in Wisconsin. A little later, we'll find out what early voters need to know so their votes get counted.
First, while polls show widespread support for expanded use of renewable energy in Wisconsin, the reality may not be keeping up with expectations. The state appears to be lagging when it comes to solar and wind power in particular.
Bill Leaders joins us now. He's a reporter for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. His recent piece on renewable energy appeared in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here.
Well, tell us the story behind the story. What led you to tackle this issue?
Well, there are a couple of things. I was contacted by a reader who said that he had been to a presentation and he saw a very dramatic chart, which I then tracked down. And what the chart shows is that if you look at Wisconsin and the United States in terms of new solar electric installations, it's going up pretty gradually throughout the 2000s. You get to 2010, and suddenly the U.S. Line shoots straight up. There's just been a tremendous explosion nationally in the number of new solar installations, but the Wisconsin line starting in 2010 goes downward. And it's rebounded a bit in 2013, but it still has gone down and it remains lower than it was in terms of the number of these new electric solar installations coming online. So it's a fairly dramatic graphic, and I pursued it as a topic through the perspective of a business person who is involved in solar energy. And the person I picked is the head of the state association for solar energy. It's Matt Newman, who is a self-described conservative. He's the son of Mark Newman, the former Republican congressperson from Wisconsin, who was one of the original founders of that business.
And a while back, there was talk of the potential for various forms of alternative energy as a possible growth industry, forgetting the environmental impact. It seemed like Wisconsin was maybe going to make a play to be a leader in the industry. Did you get a sense from Matt and some of the other research that you did of why it hasn't moved in that direction?
Well, there's one big thing, and that's that Wisconsin utilities were asked to meet a particular threshold for the amount of electricity that they obtain from renewable sources. That threshold is 10%. The utilities have already met that. The deadline for it is next year in 2015, but the utilities in Wisconsin have all already met that threshold. And so they don't have the same incentive to keep on investing. They've reached the goal that has been set for them. That is a factor that was cited. I spoke today with an individual who's involved in solar installations who talked to me about the projects that his company is doing in other states. A half dozen other states, they've done major projects in this last year. Nothing in Wisconsin. There is no major wind project that is scheduled to happen in the state of Wisconsin. One of the reasons for that is the utilities are not motivated to go beyond the goal that they've already met. Another interesting thing about the Wisconsin experience in that regard is half of all of the energy that utilities are getting from renewable sources in order to meet this mandate, half of that is coming from other states. It's being purchased from other states. It's not being generated here in Wisconsin.
Did you get a sense from talking to Matt Newman and others that this is a missed opportunity in the state?
Exactly. That's how they see it. They think that solar in particular has now evolved to a place where it is cost-effective, where it no longer even needs government subsidies in order to make economic sense. But what Matt Newman said is it still needs for the laws to facilitate the industry to help it grow. There's a particular concern among solar providers that they feel that they cannot, given the ambiguity of Wisconsin law, they cannot engage in these third-party agreements. That is, come in, build a solar system on somebody's home or business, own that system, and then charge the person for the electricity it generates. That's what is done in a number of other states. It's not being done in Wisconsin because the law is ambiguous. Some of the utilities, one of the utilities has gone to the PSC and wants expressly to make these arrangements more difficult to allow the utilities to cut off service to people who engage in these sort of arrangements so they can't buy energy when, you know, their generation is low and they can't sell it back to the grid. What Matt Newman said was, you know, we need the law to change. We need for there to be clarity that you are allowed to have these type of arrangements, and then companies like mine could go in, don't need any government help, don't need any subsidies. We just need the law to change, and we can start doing these things here.
So that's a new arrangement to me. I kind of assumed that you either buy power from a utility or you slap some panels up on your roof. In the scenario you're talking about, maybe I own a shopping mall, and I bring in a third-party company.
Yes.
They cover my mall in solar panels, charge me for the energy I'm getting from my roof.
Yes.
And then in the winter, on the dark days, I pay my local utility, you know, to bring in power.
Exactly.
And other states are doing this.
Other states are doing it. And I believe that Matt Newman told me that the majority of solar power is set up this way. This is a very common arrangement. It's just not happening here.
So what would have to change in terms of laws to make that happen? Is it, you said it's a gray area. It's not necessarily illegal, but is not clearly legal?
Yeah, there's some ambiguity in the laws to whether a company that does this would be considered a utility subject to all of the regulations mm-hmm. that utilities are subject to. And again, a couple of utilities have asked the PSC to make some changes in rate structure and systematic changes which would erode some of the incentives for buying alternative energy, at least in the minds of the critics. That's an issue that you've covered and others have spoken about. And within there would be a particular proposal that would kind of codify that companies cannot enter these third-party arrangements without some consequences.
Well, let's get into that wider issue, the possible rate changes. As I understand it, the concept is, okay, consumer, we're going to raise your monthly fixed cost. You're going to pay a higher amount each month for the tap, in effect, but we're going to lower the per unit cost. And so renewable energy advocates are saying, hey, this is a disincentive to use alternative energy.
Right, because you're no longer being rewarded for using less energy. More of your cost is based on being a customer and not on how much energy you use.
Now, we've been mostly talking about solar and wind here. How about biomass? Are we doing more with that than maybe other states are?
I believe so. Biomass, and then we have these biodigesters, which are springing up in various places around the state. I reached out to the office of Governor Scott Walker with regard to this issue because he has been criticized by his Democratic opponent for not doing more with regard to renewables. Mary Burke has said she would be much more aggressive in pursuing renewables, biofuels, biodigesters. And the response that I got from his spokesperson was actually a very detailed and thoughtful response, which said, you know, you're asking in particular about solar and wind power. If you really want a full picture, you should look at the range of things that we're doing, and pointed to a number of things that the Walker administration has done and is doing to facilitate the growth of biomass in particular, biodigesters, and more broadly, energy conservation. There are a number of incentives that have been created to promote energy conservation efforts.
Well, that's an interesting thought. Maybe Wisconsin doesn't have the competitive advantage over other states in wind, and certainly not in sun. We've got some biomass here at Wisconsin coming from our farms and dairies.
That's right. And, you know, the governor at one point early on disparaged wind power, said that this was a very inefficient way to get energy. And one of the very first things that he did as governor was to propose some rules that made siting wind turbines more difficult. They had to have a larger setback than even what the PSC had proposed after it engaged in a multi-year process to come up with new rules. The governor wanted a setback. You can't have a wind turbine unless, you know, it's a quarter mile away, I believe, from the nearest property. And that was seen as, you know, very detrimental. A number of planned wind power operations pulled the plug and gave up. There was a loss of actual dollars in investment in that industry here in Wisconsin. And in fact, in the last 2 years, we have not had any significant new wind power added in the state of Wisconsin.
We're talking to Bill Leaders about his recent piece in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at renewable energy and why Wisconsin might be lagging behind the rest of the country. And you could join the conversation.
Do you think Wisconsin should make bigger efforts on renewable energy? Why do you think the state has been slow to adopt wind and solar? And where should biofuels fit into the picture? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation about renewable energy in Wisconsin with Bill Leaders from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. In a recent piece, he finds that the state is lagging in renewable energy, especially wind and solar.
And you can join the conversation now at 800-642-1234. Do you think Wisconsin should raise its threshold for the amount of energy that has to come from renewable sources? Would you like to see more wind power in your part of the state, or do you think that it should be further away from residential areas? Not happy to see new turbines going up in your area. Do you think the state should do more to promote renewable energy? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Bill, earlier you mentioned that threshold, 10%, which the utility companies have met in part by importing energy from outside of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Is there support for the idea of raising that threshold, requiring more renewable energy in the state?
Well, it depends who you ask. Clean Wisconsin did the survey, and it showed overwhelming support for renewable energy. The vast majority of respondents said they wanted to see greater use of solar energy, greater use of wind energy, greater use of biomass energy. I think it was 73% of the respondents also said that they believe that the state should increase its portfolio standard from that current 10% to 30%. I'm not sure what time frame they were asking about, but other states have done this. Minnesota, for instance, has set a goal of 17% of electric power generated by utilities coming from renewable sources by 2016, and it will raise that again in 2020, and it will go up to, they want 25% of the electric power coming from renewable sources by 2025. So in some other states, they have asked that utilities continue to get a larger share of the energy that they sell from renewable sources.
We heard from Mike on Facebook, who said, I think our state should make a push for renewables. We're looking at solar panels soon down the road for our house. Is that a common story, or are a lot of people putting solar panels on their residences?
I think so. I mean, we have seen actually a decline in the amount of solar installations in the state of Wisconsin, which includes the home installations. But the panels are getting more price efficient, and the power source is getting more competitive. It is now more economically feasible to do this. And again, the business person I spoke to said, we don't even need government subsidies anymore. We don't need the government to come in and give tax credits, which it still does, to people who choose this form of energy. We can sell our product based on how efficient and economical it is. We just need the law to be clear enough that people can buy our product.
Go to our callers now with Willem in Colfax. Willem, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I think that I've read recently that Wisconsin's considered sort of a no-go zone for alternative energy as far as investors and regulations and things like that. That's not a favorable state for that sort of activity. And in our state, where I live in Chippewa or Dunn County on the border of Chippewa County, there's a lot of frac sand mining, and they do locate those in residential areas. In fact, outside the village of New Auburn, there's three facilities, and they're like a quarter of a mile upwind from the elementary school in New Auburn. I think that's and they won't do a study about it, a scientifically based study about the effects of all this fugitive dust, and I think it has a negative effect on our economy also, because no one wants to live your strip mining activities.
All right, Willem, thanks a lot. So he's comparing, it sounds like, the frac sand mining, which he sees as being relatively unregulated, to things like wind power, which have seen, as you mentioned, Bill, bigger setbacks required between residential and wind turbines.
It's a very interesting point. My organization, the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, has done a lot of reporting about the boom of the frac sand mining industry. Wisconsin leads the nation in terms of producing the sand that is used for fracking. And it's true. I mean, the DNR does not have the staff that it needs in order to regulate as thoroughly as it would want. There are some additional people coming online, the governor has said. And there are some concerns about the health impacts that have not been explored to the satisfaction of many local residents. And then you have wind power, where one of the primary arguments against it is that people don't like to live near these wind turbines, that the shadow flicker that's caused is disruptive. People get headaches. They don't like it. There are a number of alleged health consequences associated with this industry, and that seems to have a lot of weight, that you have the Realtors Association weighing in a big way in favor of these setbacks and these restrictions, which make wind power, frankly, more difficult to happen here.
Caller Daniel in Georgetown just dropped off the line, but said, hey, would massive solar panel fields be more palatable to people than wind farms? Do you think that would be an easier sell to a realtor or a homeowner?
I don't know. I think that with every new technology, there are going to be people who don't like to see it come in their backyard. And there'll be pushback on that front. I do think, though, it is an interesting point that the other caller made, is that those concerns seem to have more weight when it comes to solar and wind power than they do with the sand mining industry, which a lot of people also don't like. But to a large extent, they're told that, you know, that's the way it's going to be.
All right, we'll go back to our callers now with Mike in Northern Illinois. Mike, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about the fact that I think there really should be a push for a higher threshold on the renewable energies, simply based off the fact that energy resources like fossil fuels, they're expendable, and regardless of whether there's an abundant supply of it now or there was an abundant supply, it's going to be expended, and it's really important to get off of that track and push for something that we don't have to rely on in the future when it's going to be completely expended. So, you know, if you could just expand on that a little bit.
Mike, thanks for the call. Is that an argument you're hearing from people in the industry that we need to get this stuff in place now for maybe when natural gas isn't as cheap as it is now?
Well, I mean, that's the traditional argument in favor of renewables, is that, you know, fossil fuels are a finite resource and we have to wean ourselves off them and develop alternative sources. And, you know, I think that's a very familiar argument. What I found kind of interesting in the people I spoke to most recently for this column is they're not really getting into that argument in a big way. They're saying this is a way that businesses can expand in Wisconsin. This is a way that we can create new jobs. This is a way that we can grow our economy. This is an economic opportunity that we're missing out on.
Is there a notion that somebody else is seizing that opportunity, and when we finally do get to the table, we might be too late?
Well, yeah, obviously, yes. There are other states that are doing more than Wisconsin is in some of these areas. And the fact that half of the threshold of renewables that the utilities in Wisconsin are obtaining to meet their goal is being purchased from other states shows that, yeah, that it means that some of our money is going to people in other states who are doing more in this area.
To another caller now with Jerry in Mellon. Jerry, hi.
Hi. On solar, people that are going to put that in, if they have to have a survey done, say they live in a wooded area, I had to clear out a bunch of trees, but the bill was over $500 for the survey, and will you give me a receipt that I had it done so I could get the credit from the state. They said, no, you'd have to turn that in or get permission before you have it done.
Gotcha, Jerry. Your line's not great there, but the gist, I think, that the economic incentives in place from the state government to put in solar is kind of hard to get. We've heard that from another caller today, too. I don't know if that's something you're familiar with,
I don't know very
though.
Much about that, but yeah, I every time that government is involved in providing subsidies or trying to mitigate this, it creates a layer of complication. I think that the advocates I spoke to are looking to a future in which the industry is supported just based on its economic good sense, not because government is coming in and putting its foot on the scale.
And briefly, those advocates, are they optimistic that even though things are going slow now, they might pick up in the next three,
yes.
5 years?
Yes, at least Matt Newman was very optimistic. He thinks that conservatives in particular are going to come around to realizing that this is an economic opportunity that the state of Wisconsin should seize and not continue to miss out on.
Bill, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Bill Leaders, reporter of the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. His piece on renewable energy is linked on the Central Time Facebook page.